Hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Liberty. My name is Dave Wilson, and if you can hear the sound of my voice and all this stuff works, we're about to embark on an adventure together called Dave Wilson's Part of Radio Liberty. Yes, Dr. Stan is away for a few days, and I have the privilege of sitting in for him here, bringing a few guests that maybe you've heard of, maybe you haven't on this program before, but people who are important, and they're doing the work that needs to be done, and hopefully will energize you to continue to do that which you know needs to be done as well. I have to warn you, however, that the views expressed on this live radio program may or may not be the views of the radio station or the people that own it or whatever, you know. Gotta be careful what you listen to on the radio because you never know what's on there. They're my views, of course, on this program, and they're my guest views, and they could be your views as you elect to give us a call at 888-245-4237 anywhere that you can hear the sound of the program, or right here locally in the Monterey Bay area of Central California. It's 464-8295, but hold on to those calls for a little while we get going with our program. I'd like to just read something to you that should be very, very familiar to you, and that's simply the 10th Amendment from the United States Constitution. It says, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And our guest, and me too for that matter, are a little confused about what's going on in Washington these days. My guest, Dave Russell. Hi, Dave. Are you there?
Yes, Dave, and it's good to be with you.
Thank you so much. Now, you are the former editor and founder of the Citizens for Constitutional Property Rights based in the great state of Florida, aren't you? Will you tell us a little bit about that organization?
Well, we started out, Dave, as an organization to try to defend our property rights. We found that in Florida, as I think now in several other states, there was a comprehensive planning process in which each city and each county had to develop a comprehensive plan. As this began to evolve, we found that they were restricting tremendously the things that we could do with our land.
Mm-hmm.
For example, they told us that you can't clear property without a permit. You can only build one house per 10 acres or maybe 40 acres. This severely restricts what you can do. Now they've evolved down to the point of where if you decide that you need to cross a stream or to get to maybe your property on the other side of the stream, you have to not only get permits from four or five different agencies, but you have to mitigate whatever damage you might do in crossing that stream.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be filling, say, a tenth of an acre, and they could require you to give them 5 acres or more in a mitigation process. So where does this leave us as far as our rights to use our property for its highest and best use? Once we began to see what was happening, we began to organize. We started off as a county organization, then met with our state delegation, and they said, we understand what you're attempting to do, but you don't have the votes in North Florida. The majority of the votes are in South Florida, around Miami, Fort Lauderdale,
mm-hmm.
those areas.
Right.
Anything that we introduce, even if you had all the legislators from Pensacola to Jacksonville, which is the northern tier of the state, anything we introduce, two counties, the legislators from two counties, Dade and Broward County, can kill it.
Mm. Now, is it because, just as an aside, we'll get back to what you were saying, but is it because simply they're so insanely liberal down there in the urban situation, don't have an idea about rural things or what's going on?
Well, that's part of it, but the power structure, the number of people,
I see.
They have so many more legislators in those counties than we do. We might only have one from maybe two counties up here because
right.
the population is so sparse.
Well, that's what I was thinking about, but the people in the South down there have no idea about private property because most of them don't have a lot of private property and
well,
they couldn't care less maybe.
So many of them live in condos or rented houses and on a maybe a little postage stamp lot that
right.
when you start talking about up here we seldom build on anything less than an acre.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, that's just a big waste of land.
Yeah, well, it's a good thing that you saw this and began to gather people together. Has your organization grown now since that beginning?
Well, it has. In fact, when I stepped down, I ran the organization for 10 years, and when I stepped down in December of 2000, we not only had members in 47 of the counties here in Florida, but we also had members in 33 other states.
Great.
We have helped a couple of states like New Hampshire and other places generate organizations similar to ours. We were only incorporated in the state of Florida, so we couldn't build chapters outside, but we have helped organizations get started in other states as well. We're working with a gentleman right now in Vermont that just today, in fact, I put together a copy of our charter and bylaws and sent to him because he wants to try to start something there in his state similar to what we have.
Right away, we want to get the information out where people can call or write to get, perhaps as that gentleman in Vermont did, information about your organization or simply to come alongside of you and help support. Can you give us an address or a telephone number or some kind of something that we can use to do that?
Yes. My own phone number here, although I'm no longer the president, I still maintain our email alert network. My address here is P.O. Box 757, Crestview, all one word, Crestview, Florida, 32536. And you can just put CCPR on the envelope and with that address, and it will get to me. Now, my phone number is area code 850-682-6156. But I must tell you that with business and everything, I am not in the office a whole lot during the day. I'm out trying to solve problems or building roads or something of this nature. So it would be a little hard. Although, if you call, I have a secretary, she'll take a number and I'll get back to you in the evening. Always leave me a phone number where I can reach you in the evening.
And people can always refer to me, too, if they want. I have all the information here. We'll be giving it several times throughout the afternoon here, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk with Dave Russell about what's really going on in our nation. Now, he wrote earlier this year to Member of Congress Mark Foley, "I ask you again to oppose the passage of CARA Lite, or any other legislation that would make it more difficult for citizens to hold on to their lands and reap the benefits of private ownership and use. We in America may soon face a shortage of good farmland in which to produce the abundant goods that have made the American lifestyle the envy of the world. A typical example of how farmland is being rendered unusable is the current debacle that is taking place in Klamath Falls, Oregon, where more than 20,000 acres of good farmland was rendered useless last year because water needed for irrigation was denied the farmers. We're going to be talking about that when we come back from this very first break, because it is so important that you be encouraged to write your legislature letters just like this one. And before we do that, however, I just want to remind you that putting this program on the air is expensive. Underwriting the cost of shortwave, local radio stations, producing tapes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, becomes quite costly, actually. I'd like to encourage you to prayerfully consider becoming a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters and pledging your support of $20 or more a month. You could do that by simply calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 800-544-8927. Or writing Radio Liberty at the address I'll give you as we come back from the break. But, you know, really, $20 a month is not very much. It would mean an awful lot to me, and why don't you consider it? We'll be right back.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
And we're back for a Wednesday edition of Radio Liberty. My name is Dave Wilson, sitting in here for Dr. Stan for several programs through next week. He's on vacation, so pray for him that what he's doing will bring him great joy and re-energize his whole system there, so that when he comes back, he'll hit the road running. I know that he will. I've already seen the guest list that he has beginning in a week or so. And, you know, Dr. Stan really needs to get away. We don't realize how hard he works up here sometimes. And so put him right there at the top of your prayer list. I was going to give you that address that you can write to find out about Radio Liberty, or drop that check in the mail to give us some support. It's Radio Liberty, Post Office Box 969, Soquel, California. That's P.O. Box 969. Soquel, that's spelled S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073. And we're talking with Dave Russell today. He's the founder of Citizens for Constitutional Property Rights Incorporated. And they have got something going that I think is really good. They publish a monthly or bi-monthly, about 12-15 page newsletter called the Freedom Alert. Now, John Early is the editor of that. Is it okay if we give his address?
Certainly. Certainly.
Now, people could write to the Citizens for Constitutional Property Rights then at P.O. Box, and this is long, I believe, 540-575. That's P.O. Box 540-575, Merritt Island, Florida, 32954. That's P.O. Box 540-575, Merritt Island, Florida, 32954, or call at area code 321-454-4600. But the easiest way is probably just to, why don't you email me? Let me give you my email address, and we'll get back to the subject here in just a second. Let's get all this stuff out of the way. Or you can write to me, email at Lieutenant Fuzz, that's LTFUZZ at earthlink.net. It's a long story. LTFUZZ at earthlink.net, and I'd be happy to forward to you the information about the Citizens for Constitutional Property Rights. Dave, when you wrote Mark Foley about that thing that was going on in Congress there, CARA, what happened? Did you hear back from him? What was that? What was the response from that gentleman?
Well, he didn't respond in that particular letter. However, a few days later, I got an invitation to go to Washington to meet with some of the people there, and gave us a chance to do some, I guess you might call it, arm twisting or lobbying or whatever.
Lobbying, yeah.
So we did. It did generate some response. Before I forget, though, Dave, can I give my email address also?
You certainly may.
Okay, I have two. One is just simply Dave R.
Uh-huh.
At CFI, CharlieFrankIndia.net. And the other one is CCPRPREZ, all together, at CFI.net. So either of those will get to me fine.
Okay, that's Dave R. at CFI.net or CCPREZ, was it, at CFI?
CCPR.
Oh, okay.
P-R-E-Z. That was president of,
right,
of CCPR.
Okay, great. And we'll be giving those again, and I've got them written down. People can get me at LTFUZZ at earthlink.net. Goodness gracious, what did they do before we had all this stuff to give all these numbers out? You know,
yeah.
you could just call me at Diamond 46667, you know, and not worry about it, or ask for the party that's on the third ring at whatever. I can actually remember that. I guess I'm dating myself, huh?
Actually, today I think we have, you know, the cell phones. We've got beepers and all of that. I'm not sure that all of these are good because you can never get away to where you have a peace and quiet.
That's right. Have to let the battery go dead on this stuff. Anyway, Congress is involved in doing a lot of things these days. The federal arm, if you will, and of the, our government seems to have set itself up, Dave, to do things that aren't clearly delineated in the Constitution. I find that bothersome, and that's why I read the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, because I don't understand this Senate Bill 975 that's in committee now or something, having been passed in a rather strange way to get into committee. Can you tell us the story, that story about Senate 975?
Well, I'm not that familiar with that particular one. We've been out of pocket for a short period of time, and I'm not real familiar with that particular bill. But I do share with you the concern over the encroachment of the federal government into areas that have traditionally been the domain of the states or mm-hmm. the individual citizens. Mm-hmm. The old states' rights, as we used to call them, hardly exist anymore. The federal government has usurped all of the prerogatives that were supposedly left for the state to decide. And like you, I'm real concerned and worried as to where this is headed. We no longer have the states no longer have the right to say, hey, we're not going to implement this bill. We're not going to impose these restrictions upon our citizens. We send all of our money to Washington, and then they turn around and say, well, if you're not going to do it, we're just going to cut off your federal funds. And
exactly.
No government. We have become so attuned to government handouts of our money that no local government or state government, for that matter, could probably exist without it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's what they had planned in the beginning: get us addicted to government money and all of these grants that are used like carrots, you know, to entice us to do what they want us to do.
Well, exactly. That's what this Senate 975 thing is all about, which, by the way, was passed in a secret meeting. The story goes where they were going to have their public hearing, and as the lobbyists and other interested citizens came around and went to the building where the meeting was going to be held, open public meeting, they waited and waited, and then all of a sudden one of the administrative assistants of the senators came out and said, well, we've moved this meeting. And so somebody said, well, where is it? And the guy said, well, I don't really know. Well, when is it? I'm not really sure. And after he was questioned and questioned and questioned, he finally admitted that the senators had moved this meeting to a place inside that building that was not open to the public, and yet they continued to claim that this was a public meeting and the meeting that they had was open to the public. Well, duh, you can't get there because that part was not open to the public. So that sort of doublespeak is really, really disturbing to me.
Dave, give me the subject of that particular bill.
Yeah, Senate 975 has to do with, there's a few, I have it right here, to improve environmental policy by providing assistance. Now, all kinds of lights ought to be going off in the minds of our listeners today. To improve environmental policy by providing assistance for state and tribal land use planning to promote improved quality of life, regionalism, and sustainable, there's bing, 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 sustainable
yep.
economic development for, and this is the one that gets me, and for other purposes. And then you go into section 3 down there, or actually section 4, it says the secretary, and he is the secretary of commerce of these United States, not the secretaries of commerce of the individual states. It says here that the secretary shall establish a program to award grants to states and tribal governments for funding under these subsections and so forth to promote comprehensive land use planning at the state, tribal, and local level. So what it's saying, and it goes on, it's a fascinating thing. I got it off of the thomas.loc.gov this morning. If you do it our way. We'll give you money to continue, but we have the authority to determine whether what you're doing is consistent with the kinds of things that we want to see happen. Some more buzzwords, they're going to give you money if what you're doing is going to protect the environment. They'll give you money if you're committed to comprehensive land use planning, promote environmental protection, promote sustainable economic development. All these things that haven't been passed, you know, by Congress, they're simply being implemented, period.
That sounds very much like the bill that puts into effect the guidelines that was prepared by HUD. That was authorized by HUD by the American Planning Association, mm-hmm. in which they outlined all of the things that they would like to see, excuse me for saying this, but they're a bunch of socialists because they are taking everything and turning it over to the government. And you're right that if this is the same bill that we've been worried about, it gives the federal government, they even prepared certain wording in sample legislation or sample ordinances that counties can prepare and impose upon the citizens,
mm-hmm.
And it always leads back to, if you do this, you'll get grants, you know.
Yeah, if you do it, we'll give you your money back. Our federal tax dollars are confiscated from us, sent to Washington, and then doled back if we do what they tell us to do. Well, we're talking with Dave Russell this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, on Radio Liberty. We're at the bottom of the hour already. We're going to open up the phone lines for those of you who have questions or comments as we come back from this break. The phone number, once again, 888-245-4237, anywhere in the United States, if you're listening on the Internet or shortwave or however you do that. And locally here in the Monterey Bay area of the Central California coast, the number to call is 464-8295. I'd like to recommend to you that you call another number, 800-544-8927. We've got so many numbers. And ask for a copy of the Radio Liberty Resource Packet. Pretty soon they're coming out with a new one, and you'll want to be the very first in your neighborhood to get a copy of the comprehensive Radio Liberty Resource Packet. It tells you in there just exactly all of the books, all of the videos, all the cassette tapes, all of the stuff that Dr. Stan and his associates have spent so much time gathering for your edification and education. But you know, you really do have to take advantage of it. And the one way that you can take advantage of something like that is calling 1-800-544-8927. Requesting a copy of the Radio Liberty Resource Packet. We'll send it to you free and postpaid. You're not going to be put on any kind of a mailing list. Your name is not going to be given to anyone else. I assure you, the confidence that I have in the way they do things here is absolutely above board and with full integrity. Please, if you value your freedom, you need to educate yourself. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So find out what part of the battle is yours by calling 1-800-544-8927. We'll be back in just a minute.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, that was the world's fastest half hour in radio. I'm having a good time here talking with Dave Russell, and we're talking about all kinds of different issues which affect you. But basically, you said the magic word a few minutes ago, Dave. It's socialist, and that's what's happening. We're becoming a nation that John Loeffler calls GPS, Global Pantheistic Socialists, in that it's global. We're letting the United Nations take over. We're pantheistic, and that any kind of religion is okay as long as you don't say you're the one way. And we're certainly socialist in that we're going to find that people who can work will have to work. Those that don't want to work won't. Everybody says that communism is dead, but I think they just changed the name, don't you?
Well, it's communism and socialism. If you have studied the two, there's very little difference in it. In socialism, they talk you into giving up your rights. Under communism, they come with a gun and take them.
But, that's exactly right.
Basically, you end up in the same situation. And, you know, Dave, the communists in our country here, and there are many of them, people, you know, sort of turn up their nose when we say this, but there are many people who do not appreciate and want to retain the form of government that we have. But the socialists today are smarter. They learned a lot from the Soviet Union. Under the Soviet Union, Soviet government, the government owned all the land, and they sent people out to farm it, and then they took all the produce off of it and gave back to the farmer what they wanted him to have. But the unfortunate thing was they did not collect any taxes on
mm-hmm.
the land.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today's socialists here in America, they've learned. They let you keep your land and pay the taxes on it. They just tell you what you can do with it. And, you know, that's a different, we think we own the land, and pay the taxes on it, but do we really?
No, we certainly do not. We've got a caller already. Let's talk to Jeannie, who's calling from, a local place right here. Hi, Jeannie. How are you this afternoon?
Well, I'm fine, Dave, and I have a comment and a question for your guest, Dave.
Okay, go ahead.
Number one, the bill you're talking about, Senate Bill 975, is called the Community Character Act, and it's actually they want to change the community into a social characters. What it is, it actually federalizes local zoning through the grant. And yes, your guest Dave was right. That was created by the American Planning Association. And it took them 7 years to actually create this bill, but they have a legislative guidebook for all the cities and counties and state, and it's about 1,200 pages. But this is a very, very important, this Senate Bill 975, which is being pressed by Hillary Clinton and Joe Lieberman. They're the two characters behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, isn't John McCain supporting this also?
Oh, yes. He's one to watch, too.
Well, now that we began talking about this, I recognize the bill. We have been doing some study on it. The numbers just numbers tend to run together for me. And when Dave first mentioned this, I didn't recognize it. But those of us in the property rights movement say this is the final phase of federal zoning.
Yeah.
This is where the federal government begins to tell you what you can do with your land, and the local county zoning authorities or state zoning authorities lose their authority to do what they think is the best for their county, and some bureaucrat in Washington or somewhere up the line makes those determinations for us. And they're buying into this. Counties and so forth and states are buying into this because of the carrot and stick situation. You know, you impose these particular ordinances or sample legislation, and we'll give you money. If you don't, we may ultimately have to do it for you.
And none of these folks are elected, are they? I mean,
no.
It seems to be really hard to find somebody who is accountable.
You can get this guidebook on a website. It's www.planning.org, and you can get into the American Planning Association. And there's especially one chapter that should be looked at, and that's Chapter 8, and that talks about local land development regulation.
Mm.
And Chapter 9 is special, also environmental land development regulations. So 8 and 9 chapters are very, very important. Dave, I want to ask you this interesting scenario that was just created here at the Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday in the county of Santa Cruz in California. And that was regarding the redevelopment agency. Of course, the Board of Supervisors wear both hats, and of course, they can implement any programs by the RDA. And what has happened is they want to declare towns up in Santa Cruz Mountains as blight. And there was quite a few people coming from the mountain and saying, hey, we don't want the RDA to come into the mountains and declare our community a blight area, because it says in the RDA pamphlet that when it's declared a blight area, they can take anyone's property through eminent domain for any reason. And so... have you come across this on this particular scenario on the RDA?
Not exactly by that name, but does the Wildlands Project ring a bell with you? The rural cleansing, these are all tools that they use to get the people off of the land and of course, get their land taken from them. We have a similar situation in some of our counties down here. Palm Beach County is a good example. They have what they call the Environmental Review Commission, and they are the police, the judge, and the jury. If you go before you have someone say that you have an environmental violation, such as maybe not cutting your grass or watering your grass on the wrong day or cutting a tree that supposedly is protected, you go before this Environmental Review Commission, and they have the right to try you, to fine you, and enforce the fine against you. And there is no appeal from that that particular commission.
Now, who gave them authority to be that commission? How was it created?
County Commission.
Okay. Now, the Wildlands Project rings a bell because... looking at a map of the Wildlands Project, we're in an active project here in Santa Cruz Mountains, all the way down to Santa Barbara. It's called the Ventana Wildlands Project, and they need to get the people out of the mountains, and that's where they're trying to condemn their property through declaring it a blight area. So that does ring a bell.
We have something, of course, they're using a little bit different process here. And on Friday night, Dave's going to have a someone that's more familiar with it than I am. But in the Everglades area, 8.5 square miles, some 5,400 acres, there's some 3,000 homes there, and between 15,000 and 18,000 people that live in those areas. They're forcing the people out of their homes and off the land, in order to flood the land so that there'll be more water flowing into the Everglades. That's part of the Everglades Restoration Project. But it doesn't matter where you are. They will come up with some scheme to get you off the land. I have been trying to tell people for many years that all of the efforts being made now is to remove the people from the land, get you off the land. When you have to ask the government where you can live, how much you can produce on your land, and so forth, the government controls you. You know, if they've got all the food. In fact, in 1994, Mrs. Catherine Bertini, who was the head of the UN World Food Program, she made a statement in Beijing, China. I think it was the World Women's Conference or something like that. Anyway, she said, food is power. And we use it to change behavior. In other words, if we own all the food and you don't do as we tell you, then you don't eat. This is the kind of mentality and the kind of people that we have today trying to impose their will upon the rest of the world.
In fact, I believe I saw her, one of the satellite programs, this lady, and she looks like a typical housewife that you could trust her completely. Interesting. But I'd like to get a hold of the person that makes the newsletter and keep in touch with you people.
We'll okay. do that, Jeannie. I'll give you the address. You can call me. I have it here. I'll give it to you one more time if you'd like.
Okay, I'll take it off the air.
Okay, your pen and pencils all ready, ladies and gentlemen. I'll give you the phone number and the mailing address for Citizens for Constitutional Property Rights. That's CCPR.
Dave, give her the one for John Early on the back of the newsletter.
Yeah, that's the one I have here. Is in Merritt Island?
No, in Loxahatchee.
Okay, Loxahatchee. All right, here we go. P.O. Box 31. Boy, that's a lot easier, isn't it? CCPR editor, P.O. Box 31, Loxahatchee. Well, we traded one for the other. Loxahatchee, Florida, 33470. P.O. Box 31, Loxahatchee, spells just like it sounds, Florida, 33470. And his email address is johnearly22@msn.com. His phone number, 561-793-7451. Now, you can write me if you want to, and I'll get all this information. If you weren't able to pick all those things up, my email address, ltfuzz@earthlink.net. Well,
they can send to me at my email, and I will forward it on and put them on the mail list.
Perfect. And yours is davr@cfi.net, right?
Right.
Okay, perfect. Got all that stuff out of the way. We're coming up against a break here in another minute or so. Let's see what Roger in Allentown, Pennsylvania has to say for us this afternoon. Hi, Roger.
Yeah, hi, folks. Thanks. And it sounded like she might have misquoted that bill number. I'm assuming it's the same. That's Senate Bill 975.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I have several other questions you might carry me over. Now, did the House version of that pass through? If not, I can give the bill number to that to oppose as well.
We're most interested right now in the Senate one because the last action was on the 25th of April, and they're just churning it around, you know, in committee and everything.
Yeah, now, one of my questions is, I'm optimistic for the long haul, but I'm not sure what the time frame is. It's all, and this is, I think, like universal throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
And do you see, because this is even making a lot of grousing on the nominally and stupidly conservative local shows, et cetera, do you see any reason for optimism in the short term that with all of this, sometimes pretty smart commentary, do you see that any of this is being reversed, or are we still in this headlong rush?
Well, let's answer that question as we come back from the break because we're up against the clock here, Roger. And, Dave, you can be thinking about that. If you see any optimism, you can tell us where it is and what we ought to do about it. Right now, I'd like to recommend to people who listen to Radio Liberty regularly to give serious consideration to switching your long-distance carrier. Now, I've done that, and I'm very, very pleased with the service that I get. I can say that unqualified. It's great. I am with Promise Vision, and the number I called to switch was 866-448-5631. That's Promise Vision at 866-448-5631. And you know how it works. You've heard these programs before. There are many carriers nowadays who are giving a percentage of the revenues from long-distance service to people who are running ministries. And Dr. Stan's ministry, if you will, Radio Liberty, although it is certainly not a tax-exempt ministry, is very definitely a ministry, receives a portion of your long-distance charge as you have switched over to Promise Vision. And that's an easy and painless way to come alongside Dr. Stan and everybody else up here and say, hey, I support you, I want to give this to you, and they can use the cash to help with the cash flow situation. So consider it. It's painless. It doesn't cost you a thing, as far as I know. The service is excellent. The rates are competitive. At Promise Vision, 866 866-448-5631. 866-448-5631. And we're going to be right back with the final quarter hour of a Radio Liberty program on a Wednesday afternoon after this message.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Okay, we're back with two gentlemen, one from Roger, Allentown, PA, one Dave Russell from the Panhandle of Florida. I'm looking at the Wildlands Project map, and Dave, it looks like you're part of the Panhandle. There is colored in red, which is not a good sign.
You're right. 5 years ago, they consolidated Eglin Air Force Base, which is the largest Air Force Base in I think, and maybe in the world, 250-something thousand acres, with the Blackwater Forest, which is just above where I live, and with the Conecuh Forest up in Alabama. In other words, this goes across state lines, and called it the Gulf Coast ecosystem. Well, ecosystem is has a way of becoming a biosphere, and then a way of becoming wildlands.
Those are all those words we need to really understand, don't we, when we see it in anything that comes out of D.C. or the state capitol.
It was interesting, Dave, that just a few days after that was revealed, in fact, 4 days afterwards, I attended a meeting along the coast in which they were trying to get the Choctahatchee River here in our area declared an American Heritage River. It has 3.4 million acres of drainage basin. It drains part of the South Alabama and all of this part of Florida. Putting those together would have been just over 4 million acres. It didn't happen, of course, but that's still not to say it won't happen. And it was interesting that those came out within about 4 days of each other. And that would have made a the biosphere for the area here that you see on the map. We are fighting it, but you know, there's just not seem there doesn't seem to be enough of us.
Well, that's what we want to do here. What about that encouraging word that Roger asked for? And then Roger, you have another question?
Short-term optimism.
Okay, short-term optimism.
Well, in my opinion, I think that it's a 50-50 proposition that this may well pass the Senate. They have been known to take up a lot of the issues that and pass them that are not good for America in general. However, I am encouraged by several things that seem to be happening. A very serious review is taking place on the Endangered Species Act. There's a fight to return some control of the forestry operations to the states, and there seems to be some strong opposition to passing this particular bill. It could very well happen that they make enough concessions and offer enough trade-outs that they'll get the vote in the Senate that they need. But I am encouraged by the number of people that are now saying they think that the environmental issues or the environmentalists have gone too far, and that they're backing up and taking a new look at it. From that standpoint, I'm encouraged. But on getting the bill passed, I'd say it's a 50-50 situation right now, unless a lot of Americans call up their senator and really burn his ears.
There we go. Roger, you got 30 seconds.
My last question, the did you see this as a, hopefully you've heard of this option and see it as a possibility, but this, on John Stadtmuller's show just a few days ago, there was this guy named Kent McNeil, along with a large body of citizens in Antrim County, Michigan area, have apparently succeeded in threatening, because they passed a local county wetlands ordinance, they succeeded in having this reversed by threatening to have them charged and jailed for violating their pre-existing property rights with this ordinance. Have you looked into that avenue?
I hadn't heard about that.
Okay,
it's
well,
concept.
Yeah, we'll find out more about it. And, Roger, I appreciate your listening. We'll talk to you soon. You know, Dave, a lot of this all started with Rachel Carson and her book Silent Spring so many years ago. That's kind of the Bible, if you will, of these people. And a lot of it has to do with overpopulation, and it's kind of evolved into a myriad of different tacks that they are taking. And just for the fun of it the other day, and tell me if I did the math wrong on this. I was figuring out that there's, what, 6 billion people in the world now, or is it 7?
Pretty close, 6 billion.
Yeah, and I was thinking Texas has 263,513 square miles. That's 168 million acres. And I did the math and all that stuff, and it turns out that you could take all the people in the world and put them in Texas, and there'd only be 3.5 people per acre. I thought that was kind of fascinating. Have you ever done that math?
Well, Professor Floyd Lilly at the University of Texas did a study on this not too long ago, and she determined that you could give every person in the world 1,300 square feet of area in Texas and depopulate the rest of the world. So, and there's also a book out, I believe it was by Congressman Pombo, who said that there's a very small percentage of the earth that is currently being farmed. Everybody says, well, we're going to run out of food.
Mm-hmm.
In the study that was done, he said that if we utilized all of the arable land in the world, we could support as many as 36 billion people.
It's an amazing thing when you start to do the math on it with the science that we have. The environmentalists and the people who are going around shouting that the sky is falling rely on bad science, or they simply lie. I don't know which one it is, but they're causing a great deal of concern, and people like you and I are trying to reverse this trend. Just last Thursday in our local Santa Cruz Sentinel, there was an article right at the top of the page, and it says in giant print, "Beetle and Flower Halt Pet Cemetery Move." There's an old pet cemetery in a town locally here, and people were wanting to buy it to develop, to sell, or put a couple of houses on these 1.5 acre property, and they were going to spend almost $250,000 for it. And now all of a sudden, this beetle and this flower appear on this property, and they're no longer able to develop it in the way they want. I think that's sad. And also, the other thing in this article was that the person was quoted, they're not developers trying to rape the land. They're trying to do the right thing. That certainly is a negative connotation to anybody who wants to use his own private property as it was designed by our founding fathers, so that we can have a better life here in America. What's with these people, Dave? Don't they understand that the heart of man is wicked and it's not going to work?
Well, I think to a great extent, many people have bought into this. Of course, understand, let me back up a moment. Understand that the basic premise behind all of these programs that we're talking about, wildlands, the endangered species, all of this, these are tools, nothing more than tools to accomplish their goal of controlling the land and turning this nation into a socialist nation. But many people have bought into the concept of Mother Nature, Goddess Gaia, the land, let it alone, nature will take care of itself and will replenish, we're destroying. You know, all of these things are scare tactics. They work well when we're at war to get the people behind the government and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are running these programs, they've discovered this, that scare works. It brings a lot of people over to their sides of support. But you hit the nail on the head when you said it's outright lies, and most of them that are perpetuating these myths, they understand that, and they know it from the beginning. They're lying through their teeth, but they don't care as long as it accomplishes the goal they set out to do.
The web is extremely complex. The media is controlled because of perhaps oil money, et cetera, et cetera. It's really becoming a lot easier these days to connect the dots on a lot of things, and I'm praying that programs like Radio Liberty and people such as yourself and those who put the Citizens for Constitutional Property Rights newsletters out and lobby and so forth, I hope we're making a little bit of inroad into everyone who is interested in this kind of thing, and that's the sort of thing we need. Let me give you a minute, Dave, if you will, to kind of bring us to a close. And tell us what we should do as citizens here in these United States.
Well, I think we must become active. If we're not active, we certainly need to. We need to organize. I found that politicians that pass the laws that restrict what we can do on our land, they listen to only two things, money and votes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a lot of money, you don't get to, you don't get through to them. But if you represent 5,000 votes, that's something that gets their attention.
Exactly.
So organizing, becoming involved, don't sit back and let, when you know people are lying, they're telling you things that you know are a lie, don't sit back and worry about being politically correct or hurting somebody's feelings. Stand up and say, that's not true, and I know it's not true. Why are you telling these people this misinformation? Why are you lying to them? You know, we must stand and fight, or else we're going to lose.
Exactly.
If we sit back and are so afraid of hurting somebody's feelings, these people are not afraid to hurt ours, and they're not afraid to taking our land from us and taking all of our rights from us. So we have to shed off this feeling of we're going to hurt somebody's feelings if we call them a liar.
It's an amazing thing how much passion the dark side has for what they do. And the conservatives have had it too good for too long. And as long as we got our six-pack and our remote and our big car and cheap gas, we're going to find ourselves working our way down into a socialistic state. Dave Russell, thank you very much for being with me this afternoon. I appreciate it. Hopefully we'll stay in touch.
Thank you, Dave. It's been a pleasure being on with you. I hope you'll call me again.
I will. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We've got all those addresses, all those numbers, and all that other stuff. Let me give you my email address one more time. It's ltfuzz@earthlink.net, and I'd be happy to forward to those of you who need to know all those numbers and stuff. Somebody asked me yesterday, where was that music I was playing with our guest, Dr. David Hocking? It was from Zola Levitt, which is 1-800-WONDERS. 1-800-WONDERS, all that great music. Hey, we've got a great program tomorrow. We're going to have Paul Walter, and we're talking about who controls America. And we're going to be talking about money power, and we're going to show you how money is the thing that really works. And just as our guest said, if you've got money or if you've got voters, the politicians will listen to you. Till then, as the Lord tarries, my name's Dave Wilson. I'm just happy as I can be to able to sit in here, and you be with us tomorrow, won't you please? Bye-bye now.
That ribbon of highway I saw above me. that endless highway I saw below me, that golden valley, this land.